God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From the time that we are little children, we are taught to be good, to do good, to do the right thing, and to follow all the rules. And this may sound like a good teenage question for you, but why? What's the purpose? Is it so that at the end of maybe our teenage years or maybe the end of our life, we can say, boy, I was good? Is that the purpose? I followed all the rules. I met or exceeded expectations. But then today we hear the verse from Micah 6:8 where it says things like, God has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. So then, if you are wearing your teenage mind right now, you're probably thinking, great, more rules, more expectations, more requirements. Is being good the purpose of our life? Is being good the intent of our faith? Did God call Abraham and Sarah? Did God call all of the judges, the prophets, the kings? Was Jesus born of the Virgin Mary? Did Jesus teach, heal, and raise people from the dead? Did Jesus suffer and die? Was Jesus himself raised from the dead? Do we come to church every week and go to Sunday school and do Bible studies and receive communion and give our money, all so that we would know that we're supposed to be good? Some people who say that they are against organized religion say that religion is merely a means of control. We want to force a certain kind of morality. If our faith is all about rules and being good, you and I might have to then agree with them. We're using Micah 6:8 as a scriptural guide for us through this series of Lent. And so each week we will dig into a different part of Micah 6:8. Today we're working with the question, what does God mean by good? So, let's do a little deconstructing, shall we? Deconstructing is always fun because it hurts your brain just a little bit and it makes you think. So, I have to tell you, I've been having fun with this, and I could actually go like a couple months just studying the word good. I know, Frank said I'm weird. But we use the word good all the time. I may say, Frank, have a good day. We tuck people in and we say, good night. We say to our pets, you're such a good boy. Whenever you make a purchase and you feel that you've done well, you say, man, that was a good deal. And then when we're making a decision about what we're going to eat, hey, Vicky, what sounds good to you? Good. We use that word all of the time. So if you and I have all of these uses for one silly little word, do we think that God's only use of the word good is about following rules, doing what's right? Or is it possible that God has multiple uses and broader uses of the word good? So are you with me so far? We're having fun with this word good. Are you having fun? Woohoo! So we break down this meaning of this simple word. And it's important for us to do this periodically, to look at our assumptions, our biases, and then hopefully with the Holy Spirit's wisdom and the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can have a clearer perspective on what God wants for our lives, for where God is with us. So I encourage you, if you would like to have the same kind of fun that I've been having, sit down with a good concordance and look up the word good. In my research, I found that there are almost 700 occurrences of the word good in both the Old and New Testaments. That's a lot of good all over the place. The Genesis reading from tonight has that repeated phrase. God does something, God creates something, God speaks, and then it's like you see God sit back and look, and the scripture says, and God saw that it was good. That doesn't sound like somebody telling, hey, Timmy, you did good. Right? So God is using this word good to mean something bigger and broader. God created the light, and it was good. Now, there's one Hebrew word that's usually translated as good, and it has a range of meanings, just like the English word good does. But it also seems that this word good means pleasing, beneficial. Joyful is even one of the recommended translations there. But I think we could also use the phrase suitable for its purpose. Think about it. God created light and He said it was good. Doesn't that really mean that this light is going to do what God intends it to do? This light that God created is suitable for its purpose? And so, in other words, God is saying that what God has created fits with the rest of creation. God created the lights, the land, the critters, the vegetation, the people, and it was good. It was pleasing to God. It made sense. Each part was suitable for its purpose. It all fits and it all works together. So then Micah 6:8 tells us that God has shown us what is good. If being good is not the goal, and if it's not about just following the rules, then what is it? So one more question, and I think that will help us to go a little bit further here. If you were all alone on an island, what would define good? Think about that for a second, because much of what we define as good is, you know, if I go over to the Costanza's house and I want to swipe something, is that good or bad? Okay. But if there's no Costanza's, if there's nobody else on the island, there's no stealing. Is there really good, bad? If we're by ourselves, what is the rule? There's no one to steal from. There's no one to harm. So what rules would there need to be? So goodness is always in the context of relationship. So when someone says another person is a good person, a good Christian, a good, you name it, whatever it is, doesn't it all come back to knowing that we are a part of God's creation? Knowing that God has gifted us to fit with all of God's creation, knowing that we have a role and a purpose to play within the relationships and within the communities around us. God has shown us, dear sisters and brothers, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. And you'll notice that each one of these is relational. How can you do justice if you're by yourself on an island? How can you love mercy if you're the only one there? See, it's always in relationship. Loving God above all things, loving our neighbor as ourselves, that's relational. So Lent helps us to peel away the layers and to examine our assumptions, our biases, and to hear God's word say that you are good because God has declared it so. You fit. You have a role. You have a purpose. Now, what kinds of things get in the way? What kinds of things prevent us from taking our part in building up and working for the relationships and the communities around us? In the name of Jesus, amen.